Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yeah, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. We are moving on to some other stuff now, including Wi-Fi in schools and whether or not that is a necessity or a good idea or a distraction. But, David, we're also keeping a very close eye on the area of the hurricane. And, you know, where this hurricane is going to touch down or is going to make landfall and make things miserable for a lot of people happens to be an area of the country to which many of our, well, our listeners have actually physically relocated.
That's Buffalo South right there, North Carolina, South Carolina area, and, of course, all the different listeners that go to Florida. But right now we're talking about Hurricane Florence. Category 2, now that's actually a good sign that it's been downgraded to a 2. At one point, they thought this could be a Cat 5.
Donald Trump downgraded it.
Yes, that's right. But a Category 2, 105 miles an hour, the gusts up to 125. It's still a life-threatening storm. And if you look at the areas that it hit, you know, this area of North and South Carolina hasn't really seen a storm of this level in probably 25 years. Now, the Category 5, 4 area, that's about a 100-year storm for that area.
But I was in Charleston after the last big one, and, man, Charleston was still reeling.
You know what's crazy about Charleston and the Wilmington area is that they had a lot of these, you know, a lot of the tourism that goes out there. We've seen a lot of these decks and areas that are break walls, and they were all built out of wood until the last storm they had in the 90s. And now that appears that they've all replaced it with concrete structures. So it's actually, they don't expect that damage in those tourist areas to be as bad. But you still have homes and you still have the flooding, which they're expecting to be the cause of the majority of the displacement, which is, you know, up to possibly 3 feet of water in some of those low areas.
Now, even though we're going to be getting into some other things, this hour, guys, if you are listening in anywhere in the hurricane zone or close to the hurricane zone, or if you have friends and loved ones from the Buffalo area who have relocated down that way, and you want to give us an update on how they're doing and your concerns, knock yourself out because, as David said, it kind of is hitting in Buffalo South. The phone number on WBEN is 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And unfortunately, David, one of the things that tends to go down fast is the electricity, and the other thing that tends to go down fast is the cell service.
That's right. Cell service and electricity. You know, we think of Fukushima in Japan.
Watch your language.
When you go back to, you know, 2011, there aren't many new nuclear power plants in the United States because a lot of people feel, even though it's clean power and even though there hasn't really been a disaster in quite some time in the United States, actually ever, when you consider of a malfunction by the actual plant, the majority of them in the United States tend to be in this area. Duke Energy out of North Carolina runs a large section of the Eastern Seaboard's electrical grid. And, you know, what happened in Fukushima was basically without electricity, they weren't able to cool the rods. And that's what overheated and caused a problem. So it wasn't a matter of, you know, a tsunami or, you know, any sort of horrible hurricane type of winds that affected these power plants. It was that the power went down for such a long time that the generators couldn't keep up, and you couldn't cool the areas that overheated and became a problem. So that's actually one thing that, and again, they're talking about the Cajun Navy, how many individuals in just bass boats drive around and help the Coast Guard, help, you know, first responders. It really is amazing when people come together and try to help out their fellow man.
So if you have any connection, either because loved ones are now living or vacationing down there, or if you're actually in the hurricane zone, feel free to give us a call, because, you know, we don't like just talking to ourselves all day. We can certainly do it. But 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And let's go to Lori in South Buffalo first up. Lori, welcome to Bowerly and Bellevue.
Hi. Well, I have a son right now. He's deployed and coming home at an undisclosed time next week. He is right now has rented a house in Sneed's Ferry outside of Camp Lejeune, where he is stationed. And Sneed's Ferry, if anybody doesn't know, is within distance of the base, which is closed right now because of the hurricane. And it's his house is right between the river and the ocean. And what I am dreading is that he will come home stateside after being deployed with nothing.
Lose all his possessions?
Oh, yeah.
And be faced with a massive cleanup?
Yep.
Have you had a chance, I doubt this is true, but have you had a chance to communicate recently with him?
Yes, actually, he's in Europe, so it's not too bad of a deployment, and he has a lot of Wi-Fi, and yeah, he's keeping track. His roommates both were there, and they moved everything upstairs, but they put his truck in the garage, and I was really hoping they might put it on the base, but I think that it's all going to go, so...
Well, you know, there's something that is absolutely watching a hurricane approaching the continental United States is always such an ominous feeling, you know?
Uh-huh. And it's definitely, we're so fortunate. I'm almost guilty we're having such great weather right now. But when you have a personal connection at this point, I do, with somebody who's in the hurricane path, boy, do you take a different perspective. It is no longer, it's them over there and me over here.
Yep.
Definitely a terrible feeling.
Well, you also bring up the point that everyone complains about the weather in Western New York, but when you think about it, these are not concerns we have. I mean, we shovel our precipitation for the most part. You know, you go to areas in Seattle where they get the rain and everything else, but, you know, there's earthquake, there's tornado alleys where every single time in the year there are 3 to 4 tornadoes that will come through and rip apart people's property and put lives in danger. I mean, yeah, our winters are bitter. We get some snow. But when you look at it in perspective, there's no Category 5, you know, winter storms that hit Buffalo. We're very fortunate.
Well, you do get the once-in-a-lifetime blizzard of 1977. And there is no perfect weather place anywhere where you can live, but you got to figure out for your own self and your own preferences, needs, and desires, you know, what you are willing to put up with, what you're not willing to put up with, and which scenarios you find most distasteful. Is it a ridiculously long winter, or is it the idea that every year you have to go through hurricane season and keep an extra vigilant eye on the weather?
Well, having come through the blizzard of 77, yes, I was around for that. Let me tell you, it's given me a new appreciation for the winter and the snow.
Well, you remember the winds during the blizzard of 77, like 60-mile-an-hour winds. Right now, the hurricane Florence is belting out 125 miles an hour. Can you imagine twice the wind velocity that we had during the blizzard?
I just can't even conceive of it, so... Well, at least he's out of harm's way.
Well, good luck to you and your son and your family. And we'll certainly take calls from anybody else with family or friends down in hurricane area, or those of you listening to us in hurricane area, you want to tell us what you're doing. You might have the radio on to listen to the old hometown radio station as you batten down the hatches, as it were. Anything else from you, Lori?
No, thank you. I'm just looking forward to hearing the election results tonight. So.
And you shall, starting at 9 o'clock right here on News Radio 930 WBEN, David Bellavia, Michael Caputo, Tim Wenger, and a cast of thousands.
Thank you, everybody.
It's like a Cecil B. DeMille movie.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much, Lori in South Buffalo. 803-0930 is our phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And David, the Air Force actually has 7,000 personnel involved in the, I guess we'd say, recovery or damage prevention idea.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I think a lot of folks, well, I mean, they're going to make this a political football no matter what, but. Oh. You know, we just heard from a caller that has a son in the military. Obviously, we know the Marines have a footprint in the Carolinas, the Air Force. But anything CONUS, you've got access to. You know, when you looked at the problem with Houston, when Florida and Houston got hit almost simultaneously with two storm systems that came through, you know, the difference between Puerto Rico and the CONUS, the continental United States, is that when one area of the United States gets zonked, you can depend on help coming from the areas that aren't in harm's way when it comes to weather. You can't flex that on an island. It's very hard to do. And the other problem with Puerto Rico was the roads were gone. So it wasn't a matter of just fixing a power line or getting a new transformer in there. It was you had to literally cut into mountainsides, because if you were a hill that was, you know, literally had a little dirt path to get to your village, that was gone. There was no way to get to that village. So, you know, these you can prep a little bit more on the mainland United States than you can from Samoa or, you know, Guam or Puerto Rico.
Do you know, the thing, I got to share something with you interesting, because I worked in Florida, Tampa to be specific, for 9 months. And when I was down there, we had the hurricane season and we did the hurricane awareness show. And I'll tell you what's amazing to me anyway, is the fact that the native Floridians, or those who have lived there for a while, they basically look at hurricanes in the same way as we look at our winter storms. They have the same level of frustration with hurricanes that are predicted to make landfall in point Y, but they end up landing in point M. They have the amount, basically, they've got their hurricane plans down to a science. And I'm talking about individuals, not the collective, but the individual. Just like here in Western New York, nobody freaks out because we know we're going to get snow in the wintertime. We know the driving is going to be inconvenient when the big storms hit, but it doesn't destroy, obviously with some fatal exceptions, but it doesn't destroy lives.
Well, that's the issue there, right there, is that, you know, FEMA goes out of its way. In Florida, for example, everyone used to say that when it came to trailer parks, they're the worst place to be in a tornado. They've changed the coding of the way people build homes now. If you're in an area that gets hit with hurricanes or gets hit with tornadoes, you're not going to get insured unless you build it a certain way, anchor it a certain way. And a lot of reasons why you don't see the loss of life, like in the old days, we alert people much quicker and earlier, and we also build homes differently than we did in the past.
Well, apparently, though, every trailer park ever featured on live PD on A&E is not building trailers to those new specifications because they always look old and dingy. And there's a guy named Robert who I think is on every single live PD episode on A&E. Robert down in Pasco County, Florida, where I used to live.
Shirts and shoes optional.
Oh, shirts, shoes optional. And a recent episode featured a rather rotund woman with no bra wearing a shirt that said, "I make this shirt look good." Open memo to her, she did not. Moving away from the hurricane situation in just a moment. David, one of the things that I am, I guess I'm kind of stunned by it, but I know I really shouldn't be, is the weaponizing, and there is a word that has really come into fashion in the last 2 years, the weaponizing of meteorology as a political weapon. Because Donald Trump, of course, was blamed when the hurricane was absolutely massive, and the hurricane is not as massive as it was. Donald Trump is not going to get credit for it. But have you taken special notice of how even meteorology now, this has been the product of sports for a long time, especially places like ESPN, but now the politics and weather are inseparable.
Well, here's the thing. You want to be staged. You want to be prepared. I mean, not everyone can have a governor like Andrew Cuomo who prepares over 7,000 boats to enter Buffalo when a winter storm thaws. You get laughed at when you're the governor who prepares for historic snow to melt and the potential for flooding. I mean, he was a laughingstock for trying to bring boats into downtown Buffalo. But at the at its core, Andrew Cuomo was trying to be ready for the worst case disaster, right? Then there was a part where Andrew Cuomo wanted to have his own weather service. He didn't even trust.
Remember that? No,
he didn't even trust that was coming from 247 or the National Weather Service. He wanted a state-run weather service so he could be prepared in case really bad weather came. Now, everyone is reacting to Superstorm Sandy when it comes to New York State and how they got zonked and they got hit hard. And the ability to turn off certain parts of the power grid saved a lot of New York and the subways and their reaction time. But what it really comes down when we go back to, I think New Orleans is what changed everything. That was the first time that you really saw a weaponized media go after a president based on a reaction to a historic 100-year hurricane that hit a major metropolitan city. And the way it hit New Orleans, and again, to make the comments that George Bush could have done anything about, you know, well, it was the federal response was poor. I got news for you. The state response was poor. The county response was poor. The city response in New Orleans was poor. There were many assets that were set up and checks written left and right. And what did we find out what was done with those checks? They were wasted.
Strip clubs.
Exactly. And then, you know, they got temporary housing, and there was this, you know, is the housing healthy? What's FEMA really doing? A lot of lessons have been learned, but again, they're going to beat up Donald Trump. We've also seen the other politics of storms. When Chris Christie walked with Barack Obama after Superstorm Sandy in 2012, they blamed Chris Christie for effectively putting the final, you know, round into Mitt Romney's campaign. That it was Chris Christie walking with Barack Obama that allowed Obama to get a bump that caused him to win the election. So we've seen it go both ways, but I think it's equally void of any logic.
Stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up, public schools and Wi-Fi. David's got some information. We're going to get your take on it on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm just waiting on this epic song I was supposed to hear.
Yeah, it is not the epic song. Okay, I feel somehow neglected and let down.
Well, I was told it was the 430 was the best song ever written, and that was what I wanted.
Yeah, I was expecting Comfortably Numb.
It's got to be the right topic.
Oh, I see.
It's got to be the right topic.
All right. Well, we did the best we could.
I guess Families of Ducks Walking into Ponds was not, because that's our topic right now. Now, we are going to get into some other stuff here on News Radio 930 WBEN 436. Oh, yeah, just checking my email. Yes, we have a lot of fans of Live PD on A&E who listen to this show. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, it is the best show on TV right now. And I don't know if it's because of it. Basically, you're doing a ride-along vicariously through your television set of these various police departments across the country, or if I don't know if it's that feeling of, OMG, I did not realize how many absolute morons there were in the world. Sir, I need you to put your hands behind your back. Why? Now, I need you to put your hands behind your back. Why?
And that was just the Richie Incognito video on TMZ, by the way.
Put the saw down and slowly step away.
You know, we're talking about, you know, when a storm hits, critical infrastructure. Electricity is important. Obviously, you need to pump the water out. We saw what happened in New Orleans. But, you know, one of the things we're starting to hear more and more is the importance of Wi-Fi. As if now internet is going to be considered a critical infrastructure, because so many of our, whether it's our power grid, you know, these smart grids, when we try to decentralize away from the main grid, we have to put these things into basically on the internet. And that opens it up to hacking. It opens it up to cyber attacks and everything else. But the more and more we look at it, we've heard this even in political races. Cynthia Nixon talking about, we're going to wire all of New York State. Everyone's going to have access to the internet. And, you know, slowly but surely, we've heard people, you know, try to kind of a little bit of a crowbar into the Constitution of, well, education is a right. Healthcare is a right. Right. And these are the last 20, 30 years. This is what the
new think
existential postmodern thinking is. These are, you know, the 35,000 foot debates we'll have between Republicans and Democrats. What, you know, are the things the founders didn't talk about but implied? But internet, that's going to be a heavy lift. But when you think about it, if someone isn't connected, do they have the same access to information? Do they have the same access to communication? Can they still make money? Should you be penalized because of the zip code you live in when someone lives in an area that has internet connection? But the one thing that I thought we could all agree on is that during the school year, the school term, we want our kids in school to be focused on school, right? And there are some school systems that take cell phones away from kids. Others believe that you can use your cell phone in between classes. Well, we have a new school year, and already in I have family and kids that obviously go to Batavia, but I'm hearing this, Tom, in other districts. We heard from a parent at Canisius High School, another parent at Williamsville, that was saying that the Wi-Fi is shut off for students. In Batavia, they voted on this in July, and they decided to take Wi-Fi away from students and teachers. And a ton of teachers, a ton of parents, they had no idea that this decision was made. And a lot of people were kind of like, wait a minute, your school will send you a voicemail, a text alert, if your kid owes 5 cents on a lunch, you know, hey, you owe $2 on an overdue book. They will track you down. But a decision like we're eliminating Wi-Fi, you would think we'd get a little bit more fanfare. But as we're reading through these text messages that you have as well, these teachers are saying, hey, I've been at work. I cannot send a text message. I can't receive anything. These teachers had no idea. And one of them had an emergency at home. And the husband couldn't get a hold of the teacher. They didn't know what the deal was. And then the superintendent has been, answering questions. One parent in another district was asking that has a similar situation to Batavia with a Wi-Fi, saying, hey, look, what would happen, God forbid, a shooting occurs, an emergency happens. How do my kids get a hold of me? Well, use your data plan. Unfortunately, some of these schools were built, you know, like Fort Knox. There's a lot of concrete. Right. That data is not going to work. That cell phone signal already is shot. They depend on the Wi-Fi.
It's like going into a parking garage.
Exactly.
Losing your cell phone signal and your satellite signal that way. But see, David, I've got mixed views on this. And I need our audience to steer me in the right direction, because I can see both sides of this. And I want to find out what our audience thinks, because this is your chance to basically help me form an opinion on this. On the one hand, David, having Wi-Fi in school, I can see, is being extremely disruptive. Of course, when cell phones first came out, a lot of schools had very strong anti-cell phone policies in the classroom. But in 2018, is that really a viable option anymore, because cell phones have become such a part of our life? Everything from calculators to maps to the ability to search any topic anywhere, anytime. So on the one hand, there's that. The distraction issue. But on the other hand, there is the safety issue, David. I mean, God forbid, what if there is a school shooting at a school without Wi-Fi or the ability for students to communicate even with law enforcement? I don't think that this is a superfluous argument, because if you are in law enforcement and you're responding to an active shooter situation, you would want, I would think, somebody in a classroom to be able to say, hey, I'm on the third floor in room 228, and we have good reason to believe that the guy you're looking for is on the third floor across the hall. So it can really be a real help to law enforcement. So it seems to me that it is safer to have Wi-Fi available in schools for kids to use in the event of an emergency, and teachers as well. On the other hand, I don't know how distracting it is in the classroom for teachers where Wi-Fi is available. So we want to take some telephone calls from you guys, especially you parents out there. Is your Are you able to reach your kid if necessary during the school day? Can your kid reach you if necessary during the school day via cell phone? Or is your kid's school a Wi-Fi and communication-free zone in terms of the outside world?
It also seems like we're handcuffing these teachers as well. I mean, a Chris Rock concert has no problems with – people don't have issues surrendering their phones when they want to or they have to or they're being forced to. But the deal here is, well, you can carry your phone, just don't use it unless you're given permission to use it. If kids are using their phones when they shouldn't be using it, do you really need to take away the Wi-Fi, or can't you just empower teachers to actually discipline kids? That seems to be a much bigger problem than just Wi-Fi.
So we want to hear from you guys. Should kids be able, I mean, should Wi-Fi be available as a rule in schools? And is it more distracting or is it more of a safety issue? We'd really like to hear from teachers as well, because you teachers who are in the trenches, you've got to deal, I'm sure, on a daily basis in schools where there is Wi-Fi. You've got to deal with being in the middle of a lecture on Western civilization, as if they actually teach that anymore. You're right in the middle of a lecture about how much Donald Trump sucks, and then you see some kid who's fact-checking what you're saying on Google. I would imagine that that would be tremendously distracting and a little bit disrespectful. On the other hand, God forbid, what if there is a fire? What if there is an active shooter situation? What if there is some kind of an emergency? The idea that you are basically communicatively landlocked is a very uncomfortable feeling, David.
I can imagine that, too. And, you know, a lot of people make this about, you know, lower income kids. If you're not able to afford a cell phone, you could still get access to a low-cost device that uses Wi-Fi to communicate. WhatsApp, the WhatsApp, all these different ways that you can text and not use a cell network.
Well, let's find out what our audience has to say. I've got mixed views on this. David, are you for or against Wi-Fi in the schools?
I think that there should absolutely be. It's an educational instrument. It has to be used. I think we need to have discipline, and that seems to be the issue. I don't know why the superintendent of Batavia had to pass this in July and not tell teachers about it. I mean, you knew that this was going to be unpopular, superintendent in Batavia, and you knew that there was going to be people upset. So, look, pretty crazy. I mean, try to get a resource officer into a school system. You're going to hear a million excuses why you can't afford one. But when it comes to cutting Wi-Fi or something else, to me, you could have been a little bit more transparent.
Let's go to Karen in Amherst on WBEN. Karen, steer Tom in the right direction.
Hi, Tom. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it could be a little bit better if you could put your mouth a little bit closer to where you speak into on the phone. That might help.
How is that?
A little bit better. Go ahead.
Okay, so my take is, in today's world, unfortunately, with all the, you know, violence and acts of terror that have been going on, my opinion is I think kids should be allowed to have their cell phones, because I think safety trumps any kind of distraction. And let's face it, if the kids are on their phone and not paying attention, that's their problem. You know, teachers are there to teach, and if the kids aren't paying attention because they're on their phones, in the end, it's only going to harm them. And, you know, if you've got a kid in college in a stadium type of classroom with 500 students, again, it's up to them to pay attention. So
I think it's a lot of personal, you know, accountability. And if you don't want to pay attention and mess around, that's on you. But at the same time, teachers have to be empowered to enforce rules. And if kids aren't paying attention, you know, they have to be able to discipline the kids, too.
I agree. But again, if my kids, and my kids have graduated already, but I always allowed my kids to have their phones on them. I said, do not use them. Do not, you know, keep them on vibrate. But I want those phones on you. And they did. And they didn't abuse it. My kids were straight A students. They were very successful in school. But like you said, if there's an active shooter, every one of those teachers, and I know they're teachers, but they all have their phones on them in case of emergency, in case of whatever. And I think kids are old enough to be responsible. And maybe if they are caught on their phones texting or being distracted, three strikes, you're out. But, you know, if the kid's not abusing it,
Well, let's hope the schools have a better system than the White House has when it's Omarosa running around recording everyone. My God.
I don't think there's a skiff in most public schools.
Oh, my Lord.
Right, but you get my point.
Karen, what you think I should say that safety trumps everything and Wi-Fi is a necessity in public schools now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm coming from, a parent of responsible kids.
Sure. No, that's fine because I've got mixed views on this, and when I have mixed views, I turn to you guys for words of wisdom.
Yeah. We've seen it all too many times, and where would all those kids have been if they were hiding in a closet and their phone was locked up in a locker somewhere? I mean, really?
All right, Karen, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. And, of course, it's also helpful to law enforcement after the fact, David, and sometimes during the actual scenario that's taking place to be able to watch video as it unfolds online. It really is helpful to law enforcement agencies.
This is all true. But the other thing, too, is that it prepares them for life. Everyone has Wi-Fi.
Here is Michael in Buffalo on WBEN. Michael.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I have some mixed feelings about it, too, but I just wanted to explain a bigger issue. Government, with one reason or another, continues to expand the services that they provide at government expense. I just came back from a trip to Argentina, Venezuela, and Chile. As you probably know, those were very wealthy countries in the past. They got some dictators to take over a period of time and opened up a lot of services, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're all in trouble and not even taking care of their parks. I just think that people have to be careful, especially, I really don't think that students really have to have their phones in school. That's my personal feeling. It's probably because of my age, but I question the need for minute-to-minute ability to contact while you're supposed to be there learning things. But aside from that...
Well, let me just interrupt. I'm not talking about students in the middle of class, picking up the phone and calling Ticketmaster to get concert tickets.
Exactly. The students in the back of the room, who the hell is going to see what they're doing? But more importantly, we find reasons for government to do more and more and more, and sooner or later... And we are going down that road very quickly. We will become another Venezuela, another Argentina, where government's not going to provide a lot of things because they don't have the money. And I just think that's a very important consideration when we keep saying, well, we'll let government do this, we'll let government do that, et cetera.
Well, you know what? That's a point I haven't thought of. But my whole I think there's really, if you're going to boil this down to two, you would say, A, is this so that kids aren't learning and they're too distracted, and are teachers empowered enough to enforce the rules, and are they equipped to enforce the rules? And the second thing is, you're preparing these kids to learn and to have all the tools that they need to find information, which, by the way, is the first part of our program. Why does Google have to have the right information? Well, because you're training kids to find answers, and when the answers are all left-leaning or the answers aren't exactly what you found to be true, it is a cause for alarm. But Wi-Fi, it's an important part of your entire experience is, getting that information, knowing how to find data, back up your argument, not going to Wikipedia and just copying it over. To me, I don't understand why you're not able to do that yourself.
Now, we need to take a break on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you are a college professor, and especially if you've been a college professor for a long time and you're listening to this show, A, we hope that we're teaching you well. B, how big a problem is it for you college professors with cell phones being a distraction to your students? I remember when I was going to school, I think we had the Discmen. They were the big things. Compact discs had just come out. And you'd see kids in the middle of class listening to music when they should be focusing on the lecture. And I can only believe that cell phones have absolutely positively exacerbated the lack of attentiveness on the part of many students in college, where you tend to have a little bit more freedom than you do in a place you're not directly paying for as a student. Bowerly and Bellavia, 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.